G&J Pepsi-Cola Bottlers proudly presents BBN Chalk Talk, a sports show with a distinct Kentucky flavor.
Welcome to BBN Chalk Talk, presented by G&J Pepsi-Cola Bottling on 590 WBOK and 97.3 FM, where Lexington comes to talk. With me always is Matt Smith and Greg Lau. We've got a chock-full show for you. We're going to talk record-breaking. Josh Pascal's return, phenomenal story, probably the best story right now in college football. Just wait to the very end. We're going to thank the seniors and this amazing class and go through their records that they have broken, their wins and the foundation they've left for Stoops and company. We're going to talk Cash's comments on the crowd, and we're going to kind of talk a little bit about the crowd as well, our insights on it. We'll talk offense, defense, special teams. We'll give our players of the game, and we'll cover all other UK sports. It was just a good week in general for UK athletics. Make sure to text us on the 590 WVOK text line, 253-5959, sending your comments and questions.
Or you can still hit us up on Twitter. We still watch that.
Lyle's got a awesome little setup. I don't know what you're doing.
It's called a laptop.
It's weird. So it's like electric paper?
It's called a laptop. It's not...
really cool setup over there.
It's really cool. But he's got like 6-7 screens going on at once.
Those are just windows that are open on the laptop.
Unreal. Technology's so awesome.
Max has, he has paper and a notebook sitting in front of him right now.
So like your notebook, all those little tabs in your notebook, that's a different window for me.
And I could see them all at once.
And you can see that. You could see
I don't have to rummage through them?
No. It's kind of cool.
Does it cost as much as a notebook?
A little bit more.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to do that then.
That's why we don't even bring up technology to you, because as soon as we talked you into the benefits of this and then you asked how much, it would be over.
Oh, yeah. Worthless conversation.
Yes.
Not necessarily.
Yeah.
There's bound to be an off-brand.
No.
There's not like
what
a...
Year,
well, there is.
What version of iPhone do you have?
Well, actually, I've got the newest one.
Oh. Well, so, yeah.
Because...
Good for you.
It's because the other one only had like 30-minute battery. I had to charge it like 6 times.
Yeah.
And I got a deal on it.
Of course you did.
That's why.
Of course you did.
That's why Apple's in Japanese on the back of the phone.
Yeah. It's actually an orange on the back.
It's not an apple. It's a banana.
Speaking of orange, before I forget this. So we all, you know, on the sidelines, how like on offense, the backup quarterbacks wear the vest to be seen doing signals, and then they have different coaches with different colored hats. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, the defensive coaches wear different colored pullovers.
Right. I saw that.
One had a lime green. One had a burnt orange.
I'm pretty sure that was Max. Maxwell Smith had the burnt orange on.
I want that.
Did it have the UK on it still?
Yes. Yeah.
It had the Wildcat head on it. Yes. I will be making some calls today to see if they have those in fat boy size, because that is my world's colliding clothing that I can wear for life.
For life. Every single day.
Just every single day.
He just ordered like 7 of them. Just one for each day.
Yeah.
Yep. Guys, but I saw that and I was like, holy.
It's like, I can dig this. I'm fine with this. Guys, Cats move to 8-3. You play your rival next week in Louisville. It's Wibblewee week.
Wibblewee.
That's hard to say.
It is. It really wasn't good marketing on ESPN and the NCAA standpoint with
that. What should they have called it?
The week of rivalries.
If you're going to, I'm a traditionalist. If you're going to call it a rivalry game, your in-state game, it should be played on Thanksgiving.
So the Lions and the Packers, and then
Texas A&M always played Thanksgiving night.
Do they still?
No.
Well,
no.
Because NFL.
A&M won't play.
Yeah. They don't play.
Oh, well, yeah.
They don't play.
That's true.
Because one went to the SEC and the other one stayed Big 12. And
always. Let's always remember it.
But, I mean, they're still –
and they moved it to the day after because of the NFL.
Yeah.
But still, that whole
– it's always – yeah.
That way it was its own special game on Friday.
There's still a Thursday – there's still Thursday college football games, though.
Not on Thanksgiving, I don't think.
No,
last year, they did. Last year
it's always NFL day.
Usually it's the Matchin.
Who is it? Who was it?
I can't remember. I just remember
watching. Exactly. That's why they play on that Thursday.
I'll investigate.
Investigate. I feel like it was like Matchin. I think it was Mac football.
Oh.
I think. I'm not 100% sure. But anyway, nonetheless, This was a good win against a good mid-major team, and we talked about it on our walkthrough. If you listened to the podcast from last week, this was a decent team. This wasn't a team that you could kind of just lay down lightly about. And UK overall played well, and especially with the circumstances that was leading into it. But before we get into that, you maybe ask yourself, you know, I own a business or something like that. How do I get involved with BB and Chalk Talk? Do you own or manage a business that uses advertising to market your customer base? Today, there are more marketing channels, mediums, and opportunities than at any other time in our history. It's a fact. Radio's audience continues to grow, adding new listeners by the millions every year. And now with podcasts and more streaming audio in the mix, the universe of listeners continues to expand. When it comes to impacting consumer behavior, nothing succeeds quite like radio. Listening to a show is an activity that involves our attention, our imagination, and our engagement. Psychologists believe this sort of cognitive processing is why radio is so much more effective at influencing behavior. And because radio is often part of our communities and daily habits, it is one of the most trusted ways to advertise. Whether it is getting people to go online and make a purchase, stopping into a restaurant, or spreading the word for a product, nothing works better than radio. Do you think partnering with BB and Chalk Talk to advertise is a good fit for your company? Want to know all the different ways we can help you reach more customers? Contact us today at info@bbandchalktalk.com, and we will follow up immediately to answer your questions. Okay, so going back to this game, and I guess we can go ahead and lead in talking about this crowd. Cash Daniels made a comment during postgame about his disappointment in the overall crowd. The crowd was what? It was said to be 47,000?
Yeah, 47.5 is what they announced it as.
It wasn't 47.5. Yeah. Just being there, there wasn't a lot of people. And the student section was, like, vacant. Yep.
And that's what made me – you know, we were texting each other back and forth about that early on in the game, and that's what I was kind of thinking was – especially when I saw the student section, how light it was. You know, with this being sandwiched in around Thanksgiving weekend, how many kids have already left campus? Because I know there's a lot of my student athletes from back home were already coming back in town over the weekend and things like that. So if that had anything to do with it, this was our smallest crowd of the year, unfortunately, and being a senior day made it that much worse. I think I'm trying to find my notes, but it was like 3,000 less than Central Michigan. It was like 4,000 less than we were against Murray State.
Yep.
Big time drop, like tens of thousands from Georgia and from South Carolina. So it was disappointing to see that kind of crowd. There were several factors that kind of played into it. But I agree with what Cash said. It's not if you're upset with this team because of the Tennessee loss and you're that kind of fan that can't understand the loss to Georgia, the loss to A&M, you're saying you're a three-team loss now. Why am I even going to go out there and watch that mess? You're not understanding what Senior Day is supposed to be. Senior Day is to honor those seniors that have given up their time over the last 4 years and the things that they've done to help build your program. And this is probably one of the best senior classes that has ever come through the University of Kentucky. It's really changed that around. You know, we've been in that lull since the Rich Brooks eras and all those bowl games. And this senior class has really come on board and changed that mentality and changed the culture. And to see that kind of support was disappointing.
Yeah, I agree. And that's my biggest problem. And I've calmed down since yesterday. Because it was funny because I was texting you guys about some of my thoughts on there. And Max just goes, "So what Cash said?" And at that point, I had not seen what Cash said yet. So I went and looked it up. And he literally was like, he took my brain and was saying exactly what I was
thinking. He had notes.
Yeah.
He had notes.
Yeah. Right, and that's – I saw him looking down and rattling off some stats, and that's what kills me, and I understand Thanksgiving's here, the holidays, the students are in and out, you're working on weekends, there's lots of legitimate excuses for not being there. I totally understand that and am fine with that, and this is not who this is aimed at. It's aimed at the fans who, again, because we've lost back-to-back games and they think that the whole season's just a waste, so they see the struggles that we're going through right now. They see this as a waste and that there's no point in supporting this team through a bowl game because we're just going to lose a bowl game or whatever it may be. Those are the same people that are sitting here wishing and wanting us to be an elite program in the SEC, and they're the ones that are the Twitter coaches. They're the ones that have their opinions on Twitter or anywhere else. They call into shows, whatever they're talking about, that they have all these opinions that's going to make the program better and better, and they just can't understand why we can't get to that next level. And for me, if we're going to be a program that you want us to be, that's where it starts, is with the fans. Something very easy that the fans can do, of just being there to support this team, especially a team like this with these seniors who have done something that we haven't done in 34 years.
Questions, comments, make sure to text in on the WVLK text line, 253-5959, or at Twitter at BB and Chalk Talk. We were talking about Cash's comments about the crowd. Lyle and Matt gave their input on it, and for me, I felt kind of conflicted between the two, because I thought of the player that I was, and then I think about now as a follower of UK Athletics, and which side do I agree on, and it's both. Because I remember as a fan, I remember when Randall Cobb just went off on UK fans about the Auburn game back in 2010, and how the biggest – which that was a game Auburn was ranked number one in the country. You took them all the way down to a final second field goal for them to win the game. And the biggest applause and the biggest cheer of the whole night was the UK basketball team. And Randall was extremely disappointed about that. And I agreed with him. I agreed. As a player, I agreed. But now on the other side of it, so Cash Daniel has every single right to be disappointed, especially when he's looking out for his teammates, especially the seniors. And I agree, the seniors deserved a sellout crowd for what this team has done, what these seniors have gone through, these seniors that stayed, elected to stay, CJ and Josh and Mike. They didn't have to stick around for this year, but they did. And it created an awesome season, a great season that we haven't seen since the 70s. But I also understand a fan's perspective. Now, if you're a fan and the reason you didn't go was because of the Tennessee game, no, that's not a viable excuse. That excuse does not work, because teams are going to play bad games. That's like if in your job you had one bad day at work, you deserve the whole thing to be shut down. You deserve to be fired after that one bad day at work. You can't justify that. But with my line of work, weekends, I'm on call 24/7. Even though those are technically my days off, it can always happen. I got called in Saturday morning to help out. And talking to my guys, 90% of my workforce works on Saturdays. And it's not just like Saturday morning and you're done. It's Saturday morning to about 3, 4 o'clock. And a noon game is virtually impossible for them to get to. And asking them, they're asking me, you know, you going to the game? Yeah. Well, we're not going to be able to this game, so we're hoping to get a later kickoff time, usually. And I can understand that. There's also people that financially, like Matt, you and I are blessed because, first of all, we get one free ticket, and the seats we sit in are not cheap seats, but we get them cheaper because we're players, where other people don't get that advantage. Some people, they can only afford maybe go two, three games. Which ones are you going to go to? Georgia, Mississippi State, South Carolina, or Murray State, Middle Tennessee State, Central Michigan? So there's financial decisions people have to make. And then the financial decision actually traveling to it. If you're traveling from Paducah, if you're traveling from out of state to go to a game. So I think there's a lot of variables from a fan aspect. And even now, I always hated like the Middle Tennessee State games. I always hate the Murray State games as a player. Because, Matt, and we've talked about this, that's a game that it's kind of just a lose-lose game regardless. And as a fan, I feel the exact same way. I truly don't get hyped about going to this game. It feels like punching a ticket and going to the game, because that's how I'm programmed to do. I'll still go to every single game regardless. But I can understand both sides. I definitely understand Cash's complaints. But I also understand fans if they didn't show up because if it wasn't including Tennessee. If it was for those reasons, I understand. But if you didn't go because simply it was two bad games in a row, then that's not a justifiable reason. But I want to talk about, first of all, this offense, because this offense kind of felt like it got its groove back a little bit. Granted, it was against Middle Tennessee State, But, I mean, it was starting to roll a little bit, and you're starting to get Benny to get to the outside a little bit, able to get into the East-West game. A.J. Rose played great. And then this was probably one of the most accurate games Terry Wilson's had all year.
Yeah, he didn't go for big yardage, but he was 10 for 14 in his passing. He got – what I love the most is that he got C.J. Conrad involved early, and even though he only had four catches, they were big catches and big points in the game. But, yeah, our running game was solid enough. Just the offense as a whole, they looked like they moved pretty well. There was still some questionable things, and you know, I know the opponent they were playing is a little bit less than what the Tennessee and Georgia have been. But I liked some of the kinks that they're working out, and they're trying to start getting back to an identity again. And that's what I enjoyed watching in this game.
Yeah, they are starting to get their groove back. There were still some questions. And the only really knock I have is there was the one drive in the second half where we had to get points. We had to kind of put this away. They were starting to get within a possession, and we still rotated our number two offensive line, and we're three. We tried to go for it on fourth and one on a hurry-up with the number twos in. I am not knocking our number twos whatsoever in this, but there comes a point in time where you got to dance with the ones that brought you there, and that's you got to get points up. There's a point in time, and it just seems like you're right. They stick to this script of this series at this point of the game, we're going to get our twos rep. And it's probably because they've gone back and done some research, and that's a series that they can use that in. It's not a big series for them in the outcome of the game. But then you got to kind of watch how the game's going. Somebody's got to raise their hand and say, "Hey, wait a minute, let's push this back a series," because we've got to get that first down. We've got to get a score here to really put this thing away. Because if not, then you're playing there at the end of the game trying to stop Middle Tennessee State from scoring and making it a one possession ball game and possibly, you know, taking this one from us.
And I feel like Coach Grant has opened up this offense more and more. The things that we were kind of scratching our head about, now there were still a couple of head scratchers in there, but it looks like they truly are trying to open up this offense more and not putting Benny Snell in Wildcat with no motion. It was on the goal line. I'm fine with it if it's on the goal line.
That wasn't even what I get to. I was going to get to when they had Lynn Bowden in at quarterback and ran the little option with him. I love that.
That was fantastic.
That was awesome.
It's great. Yeah. You know why? Because you had a motion. Yeah. You had an option. Yeah. There was and that's what's so great. That's the part that's the part for me that's just such a head scratcher. You got these guys that you can line up in the backfield, that you can be able to do a lot of cool stuff out of, and they choose to do Benny Snell in the Wildcat, no huddle. Draw. A glorified draw. That's the part that gets me. But I love that play with Lynn Bowden with the motion, and all of a sudden a defense is like, oh, we didn't practice for this. And maybe if that's something that they're going into, I'd love for them to run that against Louisville. Terry, just play receiver for the whole game. Just stand there and just put Lynn Bowden back there, put A.J. Rose back there with Benny Snell. Like, give a whole lot of different looks to it and just keep them on their toes. But then C.J. Conrad, have yourself a day, my friend. Everyone was complaining that, how come we haven't seen C.J.? Why haven't we seen C.J.? You saw C.J., and he looked phenomenal. Absolutely fantastic. And the throw that Terry Wilson threw into the end zone that I thought was going to get picked like three times. And also, there wasn't three guys covering C.J. There was two guys covering someone else, and he threw it through the hands of those defenders to CJ. I mean, the ability to go into your gut bucket to throw that pass, I would not have been able to do that or just have the guts to throw that pass.
It was great to see him make that read and make that throw and have the confidence to make that throw and have the confidence in CJ cutting across the back of the end zone to make it.
And someone said that was the first time in college football history that a team scored three touchdowns in one drive.
Because AJ scored twice. Poor AJ. I felt so bad for AJ. He had that great run and to try to get the ball over the pylon on review and came back. Yep. And then he got the other one, then we got the penalty. The pyrotechnic guys were really busy.
Gosh.
Reload, quick, reload.
No, but
hurry!
What one of the best parts of this entire offense was is the part that you seemed not to be frustrated and you didn't seem like stressed out like we have been in the past.
Yes.
Is because I think there was only one, maybe twice, one for sure, but maybe twice where we ended up in a third and more than 10. mm-hmm. which is that's what you have to do. You have to be ahead of the chains, you know, ahead of the down marker, as they call it. When you have third and 10 or less, that makes it a lot more doable to get to those fourth and short or getting the first down. But we've seen too many times with this offense that we've gotten ourselves in some bad situations on third and long.
Yeah, we were 4 of 10, 40%, but our average third down to go distance was 5.6.
Yeah, which is awesome. That's going to help you.
And something that people may not understand is on these third downs, if they're saying, well, if you're wanting an explosive offense, how much change is at third and 12? There's small elements on the offensive side that does, but a lot changes for a defense. Because at that point, the defense can kind of gauge what you're going to do. Probably going to be a pass. Probably going to be a slant to try to get right at 12 yards, right at 10 yards. You're probably not going to go after the deep ball right now. And at that point, you could pin your ears back. It puts all the stress on the offensive line and a running back if the running back's blocking, and puts virtually zero stress on a defense at that point, that they can pin their ears back, they can get creative with blitz packages, with stunts, and really cause mayhem. So when we talk about third and 12, obviously it's more yards that you have to get a first down, but it gets the defense a whole lot more liberty to really cause some chaos.
And what really sets that up, and it's one of Coach Grant's biggest stats that you look at, it's our first down efficiency. And what's our average gain on first down? Because we all know as offensive linemen how much that playbook can open up when you're second and short. Because you basically have a down that if you want to try something out, if you want to try a trick play, if you want to try some misdirection, and it doesn't work out, you're fine because you're still at third and short at that point. Yesterday, UK was 7.1 average gain on first down, which was tremendous. And I think the other key stat was that we were perfect in the red zone yesterday.
Yep. That's huge. I don't know if we've done that this year. I'll have to go back and look at the chart that I post up every year. I'm pretty sure that
five for five
been perfect
yesterday.
With that many at least.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Where Lexington comes to talk. We're gonna talk some more. What did we talk about? Defense. We're gonna talk about defense now. I forgot.
Other side of the ball.
I forget.
Yeah.
So the other side.
Start on that paper that I give you. Just leave yourself a little mark where you left off.
What's after offense?
Make yourself a little mark, break defense. One, or cross it off.
I keep these. I keep them as keepsakes. Look,
David's got a highlighter.
David,
for you.
I got them pinned for crying out loud.
Normally what I do, like when we do our podcast at home, when I'm running the board, is I'll scratch things off. I'll circle the things that you missed.
I scratched it off, okay? You happy?
That way in post-production.
Talk about the defense. Defense did all right. Defense got exposed on east-west zone. Stop yelling at me.
You're yelling at yourself, which is what the best part of that is.
He just made himself cry. That's impressive.
You're going to have to go to HR for bullying yourself.
Matt, help me.
No, no mercy. Just read the script. Nope.
So, two things about this defense before we start. David, shut up, all right? No one asked you.
It was a great day by the defense.
Yes.
Well, start off with the first series.
Well, yeah. A pick six is a great way to start off. And then a fumble.
Yep,
and both resulting in what they both scored off of it, two touchdowns off of it. And then one thing before we talk about Josh Allen's record, which is awesome, and then mm-hmm. the moment with Oliver Barnett mm-hmm. was really cool. Josh Pascal, which I met whoever aired the game. It was at SEC Network that aired. I know it was an alternate. It was the alternate channel.
It was a new crew.
The dude needs to be fired that does the graphics for it, because they said, "Oh yeah, Josh Pascal's back," and on it says foot injury.
Yeah.
Like, are you serious?
Well, that was probably because they had old graphics, because he was originally had a foot injury, and that's what kind of held him out towards the end of last year.
Yeah.
And it was because of that foot injury that they found the lesions on the foot,
right,
which led him to the cancer diagnosis.
Still, it's not a foot injury. Like when I was hurt, that's a foot injury. The dude had aggressive cancer that required 3 surgeries mm-hmm. and chemo and radiation.
Yeah.
That's not the same thing. I sprained my ankle.
That's the difference between are you injured or are you hurt?
Exactly.
Yes.
The toughness of Josh Pascal and the mental determination, just a psyche of what a injury can do to a player, but then to say you have cancer, mm-hmm. you're having to do chemotherapy. Like, at this point, it isn't playing time. This is like your life on the line right now. All of a sudden, everything changes and everything gets into a perspective after that. And then to be able to come back in the same season, like I just assumed, like everyone else, you're not going to have him for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
To come back and then play a crucial part in this game as well, where not only did you start, but you were making tackles. You got tackles for loss. Like,
yeah, I mean, that was such balling. A great moment to see that defense come around him after he got his first tackle of the year, and the ovation that he got from the crowd. It's just amazing to see him be able to come back and get on that field with three games left to play. And as you know, three games left means he can still redshirt.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the best thing you'll see in sports this weekend was that return here. And, you know, like you said, and like we've talked about before, some things are just bigger than football, and that's one of them. So that was that was really cool to see, just on top of everything else that was going on in this game on the defensive side.
What about Mike Edwards?
Yeah.
Yes.
Only the second DB with 300 tackles in school history. I mean, there's a record broken. We've got Josh Allen with a sack record that he added to, and he still has two games left to go in the season. He also, I mean, everybody's so focused on the sacks, but he's also now creeped up to tie second on the team for career tackles for a loss.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just like slowly but surely creeping up. He set the single season record. He set the all-time record for sacks. He's going to move into second. I don't think he's going to be able to get Oliver Barnett from 86 to 89. He had 43. Josh is at 37 right now. It's doable with a bowl game in there. I mean, that he could leave here with all the significant, other than number of complete tackles, all the significant tackle records at the University of Kentucky by the time he leaves here.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy. And so my dad and I were talking about this last night, was who is a better player at UK when it came to – I'm trying to think of just stand-up end, since the stand-up end thing has become such a fad. I guess not a fad, because I feel like that stand-up end and defense is going to stay for a while.
Oh, yeah.
To see the stand-up end, and you had a great one in Bud Dupree.
Right.
First-round draft pick. Killing it with the Steelers. Stealing people's shoes. I love you, Bud. Never change.
Was that not – did that not remember you being back in college when somebody get cut or somebody would be dismissed from the
team? Yeah, everyone's like, man, you know –
it's like piranhas on a locker.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what what it reminded me of.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, how could he do that? I was like, everyone does that. Uh-huh. Like, that's nothing new.
Yeah.
The only difference is Le'Veon Bell can probably afford to go and buy those cleats again.
But I hope he can afford to, because he just threw away like $14.5 million.
Yep.
I would throw away.
I wish I was in that position where I could just throw away $14 million.
No, I'm good.
I get mad if I lose like $2 on my wallet somewhere I had in my pocket and I lost it.
This is my Ponzi scheme right now. I'm thinking about going to either the Browns, the Reds, or even Kansas. But Kansas looks like they're going to get less miles, so I have to take Kansas off the list. I'll think of someone else. Just coming up to them and say, hey, this is what I can do for you. I'm not a coach per se, but – if you're just willing to just take the losses and you don't want wins and all you want is just to be in the media, I'll say whatever you want me to do, and I'll do it for less money.
Dude, go interview for the Browns. I mean, their owner literally said, we'll interview anybody at this point. We're keeping it open. They're interested in interviewing Condoleezza Rice. They just announced – Adam Schefter announced that this morning on NFL Sunday Countdown. Blew my mind, and I was like, what? That can't be real, but I trust Adam. So, I'm, you know, what he says goes. So, hey, go interview for it, man.
I think I should. I'll say whatever you want. If you want me to throw a bench onto the field, if you want me to start like
maybe like a dry race where you wouldn't be able to lift up a bench.
I probably couldn't, but if I get the team around me to throw it on there, and they're like, look, they're playing with unity. Max, you're fired. Okay, give me my money then. Just, I don't know. I just feel like that is the biggest Ponzi scheme ever, and I feel like that maybe that's what a lot of people, they want to get into coaching. Maybe that's what Charlie Weiss did. He busted his tail so many years as an OC, as an assistant, just to get to the point where he can go to Notre Dame and Kansas and make bank. Yeah. Just drop it. Just say, you know what? I'm just going to mail this one in.
Yep. Maybe.
That'd be great. All right. I know what I'm going to do after the show then.
Good luck.
So, going into special teams, there's not much to say. I don't think of special teams. Max Duffy.
Shankopotamus.
Well, 90% of your problems is solved with an Australian punter. We saw 10%.
Yeah, we definitely saw that 10% this game.
That was 10%. But, again, Bouvier. And I get a lot of questions why you don't have Lynn Bowden back there versus David Bouvier. And the reason is Lynn Bowden's extremely electric, but it's very unpredictable. Again, it's all about statistics. I noticed that MTSU – their kick returner, I think out of all the kick returns, actually returned two. I believe it was two.
Yeah.
He fair catched all of them. And my dad, who is a huge, huge Excel spreadsheet kind of guy, give him the numbers, give him the stats, or David reading his programming statistics book that he has over there, look at those numbers. And the percentage of just starting on the 25 is unreal. That's good field position. Low risk, decently high reward. And then you look at Bouvier. Guaranteed he's going to catch it. You're going to get it right where he gets it. Where Lynn Bowden, you may score a touchdown off of it. You may lose 5 yards, or he may fumble it. Low risk, high reward. That's what you get with Bouvier. And that's really all I got for special teams. There, nothing really stood out. Besides
players of the game.
Players of the game. There we go. Offensive player of the game, I feel like you got to give it to C.J. Conrad.
Yeah.
Doesn't drop a ball.
Yeah.
Scores touchdowns.
Yep.
I think it's like every seventh catch is his statistics now, something like that. Every seventh catch is a touchdown.
Is that good?
Yeah, it's decent. It's enough probably to get him some money here on Sundays coming up pretty soon.
There we go. And then defensive player of the game. This one's going to be interesting who you all choose, because you could say Josh Allen. You could say Josh Pascal. Or you could say Mike Edwards. I think those are the three.
I am going with the senior class.
Oh.
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 Wow. You just pulled a me here as just a recent. Just kept it in a group.
Yep. Beg.
Because when you look at it, look at that senior group.
Yeah.
Jordan Jones, all those guys.
I'm with you. You're not wrong.
No.
Yeah.
No,
I think. I mean, for me, I when I was thinking about it, I think it's Josh Allen, which unfortunately Mike Edwards had himself a day. And most games would have been player of the game as far as, like, the statistics go. But Josh Allen just had a few more things that went his way and breaking those records and things like that. I think for me it just – I don't know. But I'm with you. Senior class, I like that too.
Yeah.
I like that. I'm going to go with Mike Edwards to get a pick six and then a strip and then a tackle for a loss, like, right within the first three drives is pretty good. And that just stayed in my brain for the rest of the day.
He's one of my picks too. That he's including that.
Yeah, yeah. I've caught on to that.
I'm all inclusive.
Yeah, I'm not. Anyway,
we know.
It's week in review. So it wasn't just football that had a good week.
Lots of stuff's going on.
A lot of stuff going on. UK basketball, great win against North Dakota. Did a great job, phenomenal job.
Yeah.
I think they're back on track, and I think they finally realized that. We've got to play defense now.
Yeah.
I think that helps.
I think, and that's been the big thing that after that SIU game, that they kind of got that struggle win against, and then after what happened at Duke, Coach Cal said, I think I figured out what we need to do. And he came back and said, went over this week, and after the game, he said, guys, here's what I did. And we have some sound bites that we're going to use later on in our podcast and things like that to kind of let you know. And you can see the videos on our Twitter site he talked about how he just went back to some of the basics. And he said, as soon as you start assuming that these kids know what they're doing or they know how to do something, you're dead wrong. He said, that's where I made my mistake. He said, I remember a lot from like last year, by the end of the year, you always remember the end of the year and how good you were doing and how much everybody had learned by then. You always forget about the beginning of the season. And he's like, what my mistake was, and he put it on himself. He said, my mistake was that I was still thinking about these guys are talented, and we saw what happened in the Bahamas, and when I start giving them stuff, they're just going to pick up on it. He's like, that's where I made my mistake. So they went back to wall sit drills to make them mentally strong. They went back to drills about diving on the ground. Every single day he said they're doing that. When you asked Tyler Hero when last time they did that, both of those things, he said it has been since high school. So they're starting to figure some things out. They had a good win against North Dakota, and I know we can talk about that more here in a minute.
We're going to get into the next segment, talk some more UK sports. A week ahead for us, and then maybe a little Thanksgiving talk. It's turkey season in more ways than one. So, Matt, you want to tail in? We kind of cut you off on the old basketball talk. You want to finish that up for us?
Yeah, I mean, when looking at this Notre Dame, oh God, that ND keeps messing me up. I know it's been messing
a
lot of people
up. Yeah, it screwed me up too this
North
week.
Dakota. The fun fact of the night is, we tweeted this out, is North Dakota now was the last state team that Kentucky needed to have played a team from all 50 states in their history, which is awesome.
Even Alaska,
yeah. And I can't remember. I'm trying to remember the five off the top of my head. There's only been five states that Kentucky has played a team from once, a team from that state once. And it was North Dakota, South Dakota, Delaware, Hawaii? I'm forgetting the other two. No. It was ones you haven't thought of. It wasn't Rhode Island.
UMass?
I don't know. Anyway, I'll get back to you because that's going to take up all my time thinking about that. So, but
an hour show.
The best part coming from this is the shooting, along with the defense, the shooting that went along with the offense. Why y'all look at me like that? The offense from
phrasing,
this,
phrasing, please.
The
just like the S in Transy.
The best part about this offense is the number of baskets they made. How about that? Is that good?
That works.
Okay. On the game, they shot 53% from field goal, 46 from three, and 80% from free throw. I mean, P.J. Washington just went insane on this game. He only played 17 minutes, had 25 points. Four of those were three-pointers. So, had a great game. I mean, this team just all around, we had five guys that were in double digits. Ashton had a double-double. Keldon Johnson had a double-double. So, these guys are starting to figure it out. I'm excited to see what they have coming up here. I know tonight, Greg, you're going to be covering this game, but they're playing VMI here, and then on Wednesday they're playing Winthrop. So, you know, we've got a week here, a few more games before we get into some of our tougher games and then into SEC play. So as long as these guys keep getting better, that's all the fans are looking for at this point, because we kind of started off a little rocky here.
Because the competition is going to get tougher as each game kind of goes on. Right. Yeah. So, yeah, I'll be over there tonight to watch them take on VMI. And Wednesday I have – I might run in there for a minute, but Max is going to make an announcement of why I probably won't be over there too much on Wednesday, because they play at 1 o'clock.
Ooh,
because it's their invitational holiday tournament.
You won't be able to do that.
So, but in other UK sports, the men's and women's swim and dive team competed in the Ohio State Invitational, taking on Ohio State, Kenyon, Notre Dame, the right Indy, Ohio, Pitt, Stanford, West Virginia, and Yale, and they placed third. Both teams placed third in that invitational. Rifle took on Navy, defeated them 4,681 to 4,672. That was a tight match. But I think this is official. We have swept all of the service academies this year in Rifle. Big news on the women's basketball court. Taylor Murray, she had her 1,000th career point against UVA. What a great game that was to see that defense get after it the way they've been getting after it all year. And even against some bigger competition, I mean,
literally
that one girl, number 30, I can't pronounce her name, but she was like 6'9".
Yeah. Giant.
Close to 6'3 or 6'4 is the next tallest player that we had. And Kiki and Tots went after her all night long and battled with her and did well. They'll be taking on High Point later this afternoon at 2 o'clock over Memorial. Stop by and say hey, because I will be there for that game as well. And also today, the volleyball team is traveling to Missouri, number 23 Missouri, so this is a tough match on the road for them. We did defeat Missouri 3-1 earlier in the year here at home. But today at 4 o'clock, they will be taking on Missouri on the road. You can watch them on the SEC Network to follow along with that. And the other big game here in town at 4 o'clock is the men's soccer team. Number 3 soccer taking on number 21 Portland over at the Bell in the second round of the NCAA tournament. So if you're in town, you're not going to one of the basketball games, head on over and watch them out on the soccer pitch.
Good deal.
Nicely done.
Very good job.
I try.
We can't do club sports, David. There's too much to cover. Make sure you catch us during the week. You know, we've got the two podcasts usually, but our dear friend, a part of the WVOK family, Larry Glover, will be taking the day off Wednesday. And so they thought it would be a phenomenal idea. Who should cover for Larry Glover? They said us. Would you like to do it? It's like, sure.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah, it's like, are you sure? Like, we've just been here for a little bit. That's like you've been the water boy for the Browns, and they say, hey, you want to be the head coach? You want to be the interim? Sure, I guess. Yeah. I didn't know we had that much credibility with WVOK yet because, you know, we talk football and food. But then we were like, so do we follow the usual Larry Glover stuff? And they said, no. You talk sports. You talk food. That's it.
No politics.
No politics at all. Remember the contract. I was like, okay. He's like, well, we're probably not have the right credentials for that anyway. So it's like, so any political talk, if you call in and you
I don't know who's going to be more confused on Wednesday, us or the listeners.
I know.
Expecting Larry Glover.
It's like,
and that's why I'm keeping my credentials for the basketball game. So when a certain somebody in this room has their meltdown and stuff like that, I can just walk across the rough and
you just leave him. Yeah.
Grab a bite to eat real quick. And yeah. I mean, it's a 3-hour show. The thing, would he even notice? If he gets on one of those good rants, I could probably check out, go get some nachos, catch a little bit of the ball game, and come back, and he'd be like, so what do you think?
Yeah. You've got a great point on that. Phenomenal point.
And I would just I would do like we do on all the shows. Uh-huh, yeah. All right. Yeah, Max, sure. Yeah.
Cool.
The worst is if we get a caller and go, Larry, I want to talk about this. I was like, well, I'm not Larry, I'm Max. We're talking food and sports. we talk food and sports. But I want to talk politics. Now we're going to talk about food and sports. Do you like stuffing? Are you a big sweet pie, sweet potato pie kind of guy?
No.
I'm not. Anyway.
Wow.
Stir the pot. Thanksgiving coming up. And I guess this is technically kind of a Thanksgiving show. Kind of, sort of, not really, you know. Eh.
Wednesday would be the Thanksgiving show.
Yeah, right. Podcast. I mean, this is the Thanksgiving radio show, I guess.
You know what you should always have around Thanksgiving time? Is some kind of snack out. And you know my favorite thing to leave out? Candy corn.
No, why? Nice, it's not even Halloween anymore.
It's
why?
A fall candy.
It's a fall candy.
It's not a fall candy. First of all, it's not candy. Yeah. It's marbles.
Yeah, it is. Nope.
It's basically not, an oddly marbles. Shaped marble.
Nope. Candy.
False. It's not candy. Candy.
Where do you get it when you go to the grocery store? Where do you get it out of? The candy aisle.
I don't get it. I don't get it. Therefore,
where do you see it?
It doesn't exist. I don't look for it. Why would you go and look for something that's going to hurt?
What's his
going
to do whenever he finds out Ashley's a closet candy corn lover?
She's not. She's not.
That's what she tells you.
Probably. Yeah. Probably. That's, yeah. Probably so. Anyway, so I cannot wait for Thanksgiving because I get 3 Thanksgivings. That's what I love.
Yep.
I get 3. I get the one in Indiana. Mm-hmm. Then I get, when I come back to Louisville, I get one with my mom and dad because they do theirs on Friday. But that one is at a Mexican restaurant in Louisville. Mm. And it's fantastic. It's one of Lyle's favorite places. It's where Lyle goes to, I don't know, whatever he does in his free time.
But he's there every time. Yep.
I'll probably see him there.
We went there after G's signing on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And so, like, our family was there and stuff. And the GM, who I know, always comes up and he goes, so I'll see you Saturday? I was like, yeah, probably.
Yeah.
I'll
be here.
Yeah, probably.
There's a good chance.
But then get another Thanksgiving on Friday, full day Thanksgiving, like everything.
Yep.
Then Saturday, it's tailgating. It's an all-day event for the blue out of Cardinal Stadium. I mean, the way it's setting up, the way this is setting up right now, I don't know what I just need to start fasting today and just not eat for like 4 days. That way, just the calorie intake in general is just going to be at an all-time high. That, or I need to set up a treadmill.
Fasting? What is this term? I'm not familiar
so,
with this
so,
term.
Does that mean eat faster?
No, so fasting, guys, is this time, like a time period that you choose not to eat anything.
Why would you ever do that?
Yeah.
Blasphemy.
This has been around for thousands and thousands of years.
Who was the last person that did it?
Well, you're talking to someone right now that does.
You fast?
Yeah. I do intermittent fasting during the week.
I do that too, but it's like an hour. I just say, I'll wait an hour until my next meal.
Intermittent fasting.
Yeah.
What does that mean? I don't even understand the words that are coming out of your mouth right now.
So I take a span during the day where I do not eat.
Between lunch and dinner.
Yeah.
Around the snacks.
Yeah.
Make sure to check us out at Larry Glover on Wednesday, and make sure to check out the podcast. It's like talking to a wall at this point. It's like talking to two fat guys.
Yeah.
Is what it is. Yeah. Well, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah.
I just want you to wrap up, so I can go grab my tea to the room.
There you go. All right. Make sure to check out our podcast during the show, the OT and the walkthrough. And Larry Glover will be on from noon to 3 on.
We'll be on Larry Glover's show. Larry Glover won't be on.
Well, Larry Glover will not be on. For Matt Smith and Greg Lyle, you've been listening to BB and Chalk Talk presented by G&J Pepsi Cola Bottling on 590 WVLK. Have a great afternoon, happy Thanksgiving, and go Cats!